prophecy is not our main emphasis this morning. I'm not saying that there's no connection. It's not our main emphasis. But I want to point out to you a statement in Revelation chapter 22 that I think will help us to consider here at this last day of 2017 as we're looking into 2018. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 13. Revelation 22:13, this is Jesus speaking, and he said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for blessing us. Thank you for your word. Pray that you'll speak to us through it this morning by your Spirit. May that same Spirit guide us into all truth and make that truth clear and easy to understand for all of us. Lord, again, we pray if there's a soul here who doesn't know you, may they come to trust you in this hour. And for those who do know you, may our hearts be drawn closer to yours. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're here this morning at a beginning and an end. The beginning of a new year and the end of the current year. In just a few hours, what would be in the new year. In just a few hours, we'll be at the end of this year. Now, we live in a region or sphere of action and events that we call time. Within this region of action and events that we call time, everything we relate to has a beginning and an ending. Time is a straight line, if you will. It has a beginning point, had a beginning point. It will one day have an ending point. We'll say more about that in a little bit. So each year has a measurable beginning and a measurable end. Now, why do we have years measured like that? We have a year, approximately 365 days, and that is the length of time it takes the earth to travel around the sun. And that's what we measure our year by. We have the length of time that the earth rotates on its own axis, and we call that a day. It takes about 24 of our hours. So our calendar, our time, is not just arbitrary. Somebody didn't just say, well, let's call 12 months a year, let's call 30 days a month. It's not like that. There's a basis for it, and it makes good sense. So a year has a measurable beginning and an ending, and that same is true of a day, an hour, a minute, or a second. We measure hours and minutes and seconds based on those beginning and ending points. And our lifespan had a beginning point, and one day our lifespan will have an end. Now, there is a region or sphere of action and or events outside of time. We call that eternity. Now, in eternity, there are not beginnings or endings. There is only a continual existence. So I can't relate to that. No, you can't, because you've not been there. Neither have I. So we take that by faith, but we take it by faith upon the word of those who have been there. Now, some people don't believe in eternity. And yet some of the people who don't believe in eternity will speak of other dimensions, or they'll speak of extraterrestrial beings, or they'll speak of things that cannot be proven, as though these were irrefutable facts. I don't have an issue with believing in eternity. Again, I haven't been there, but someday I expect to be. And again, we measure our lives in units of time. We celebrate birthdays. We just had a celebration of Christmas. I heard a lot of talk this year about, should you celebrate Christmas? And by the way, should you celebrate birthdays at all? To which I say, why not? Why not? Is it not important that Christ came into the world? Is that not a cause to celebrate? Well, it doesn't tell us to celebrate it in the Bible. There's a lot of things we do it doesn't tell us to do. It doesn't tell us to meet at 10:30 every Sunday morning. It tells us to get together on the Lord's Day, but it doesn't tell us what time. There's a lot of things we do that doesn't tell us to do. But the fact of the matter is, we celebrate birthdays, and is it wrong to celebrate when you came into the world? I don't think so. But personally, I'll just look at you and tell you, I'm glad all of you came in the world. At least we're celebrating. I really am. Glad you're here. Glad to have gotten to know you. We ask little children how old they are. We expect an answer to something like, well, I'm 4, or I'm 5, or I'm 6. And when they say that, we don't say, well, 4, 5, or 6, what? We know exactly what they mean. 4 years old, or 5 years old, or 6 years old. And what are they doing? They're measuring their lifespan. I want to share something with you I think is interesting. Listen carefully. We'll not turn there. The Psalm 90 and verse 10 says this. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. Now, a score is 20, so 80 would be 60 plus 10 is 70. So listen to me. Psalm 90 verse 10. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength, they be 80 years, so that would be 80. Yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for he's soon cut off and we fly away. You know, one of the most often recorded songs in the history of the world is that gospel song, I'll Fly Away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Well, where does that come from? It comes from Psalm 90, verse 10. And someday we fly away, we leave this world. Now, I want you to keep that in mind, and we'll come back to it in a second. Let me give you a couple of statistics. I did statistics in Sunday school. I'm going to do some more now, which is pretty good for me because I can barely even say statistics. So, you really have to work at it. But on October 8, 2014, so just over 3 years ago, USA Today published a report that the life expectancy in the United States rose to a record high. Want to know what the record high life expectancy was 3 years ago? 78.8 years. That's a record high, that's what they said. More recently, in 2015, approximately 2 years ago, there was a report published that worldwide human life expectancy, and by the way, this comes from the World Health Organization. So for the World Health Organization, 2015, said that worldwide human life expectancy is 71.4 years. Now I want you to think about that. Life expectancy in the United States, 71.8 years. Life expectancy 78.8 years. Life expectancy worldwide, 71.4 years. Now listen again to Psalm 90, verse 10, and remember that Moses wrote that, and he wrote it about 3,500 years ago. And listen to what he said. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, 80. What is Moses saying 3,500 years ago? He's saying we're going to live about 70, 80 years, most of us. And what do the latest statistics tell us? We're going to live about 70 or 80 years. That's exactly what it tells us. Isn't that something? 3,500 years later. So it would appear that the Bible reported an average lifespan for a man, and it still is. In our text this morning, we know that life, our life, has a beginning and an end. But in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 13, Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I'm not just the beginning, and I'm not just the end. I'm the beginning and the end. I mentioned an old gospel song. Well, there's an old folk song that I think it's just a beautiful old song. I'm not going to sing it for you because then it wouldn't be beautiful. But the fact of the matter is, the song says this. It says, I gave my love a baby with no crying. I gave my love a ring that has no end. I gave my love a cherry that has no stone. Got that in reverse order. Then it says, how can there be a cherry that has no stone? How can there be a ring that has no end? How can there be a baby with no crying? Then it answers the question. A cherry, when it's blooming, it has no stone. A baby, when it's sleeping, there's no crying. And a ring, when it's rolling, there is no end. You can't find where it starts and where it ends. That's like eternity. So a straight line has a beginning and end, but a true circle has no beginning. It is continuous. So Jesus says in verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega. Now Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Once again, Jesus did not simply say, I am the beginning. He said, I am the beginning and the end. Now he did say, I'm the beginning. And he is the beginning. Listen to John writing in John chapter 1, Gospel John chapter 1. In the beginning, what beginning? Beginning of everything. Beginning of everything we know, everything we relate to. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Listen, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. John 1:1-3. Listen to Hebrews 1:2. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed the heir of all things. Listen, by whom also He made the worlds. He's the beginning. He's the beginning of everything. He is the creator of the universe and everything in it. Therefore, He is the creator of mankind. He's also the end. Paul writes and says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created, listen, by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. By Him all things consist. He not only began everything, He keeps it going. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. There it is again. The firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Romans 11:36, same author Paul says, for of Him, through Him, and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. He is the original beginning, and He's the ultimate end of all things. So all creation, therefore, everything in the universe begins with Jesus, and everything in the universe will find its ultimate fulfillment or its ending in Jesus Christ, having come full circle. Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Always the same. Always eternal. God says in the last book of the Old Testament, I am the Lord, I change not. I don't change. Always the same. And then, again in Revelation 1:8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. Same idea. Eternity. Eternity. So only God is eternal. The earth had a beginning. Everything in the universe had a beginning. Only God is eternal. And even scientists who reject the Bible, by the way, not all scientists do. I heard a statistic last night that 40% of scientists acknowledge that there's God. Well, that means 60% don't. Yeah, but it's a lot more that do acknowledge God than most people would have you believe. And by the way, some of these scientists who acknowledge God have pretty impressive credentials. I like being professors at Massachusetts Institute of Technology, like mapping the human genome and things like that. So the earth had a beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth will one day have an end. Listen to what Peter wrote. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, the works that are therein, shall be burned up. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. I remember back in the 1970s, there was a church that had a television broadcast. They had them way back then, they did. And they opened every time they had their television broadcast, they opened it always with that verse. And it would be on the screen, and their narrator would be reading it, the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And as those words were on the screen, and as the narrator was saying that, they showed a nuclear explosion and a mushroom cloud and all of that. And they were implying the nuclear war was going to be the end of the world. Well, is it going to be? Well, nuclear war is still a threat. And no question about that, but I don't think that's going to be the end of the world. You don't? No, I don't. Well, it kind of sounds like that. Great noise, elements melt with fervent heat, the earth and the works burned up. Yeah, it does, but I don't think that's a nuclear war. I think that's God. And then time itself will have an ending. That's hard for us to understand because we've never lived without it. But time itself will have an end. Listen to Revelation chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, there should be time no longer. Now, some Bible scholars say, well, that means delay. There'll be no delay any longer. Folks, delay, time, same thing. It really is. Well, it means there's not going to be any more delay of God's judgment. Yes, it's going to be the end of time. No question about it. So, the earth itself will have an end. This year will have an end. And folks, one day, you and I are going to have an end. Ecclesiastes 12:5, man goeth to his long home. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Did you catch that last part? Death comes to all men. Nobody is escaping it. So that brings up a question. And the question is, what happens when it's over? If Jesus lives in eternity and we go to be with him, then we also will live in eternity. But if when it's over we do not live with Jesus, we'll still be in eternity. The question is where? And the answer is not a popular one. And by the way, it's not one that preachers like to talk about. Do you ever hear somebody talk about, well, those hellfire and brimstone preachers? When's the last time you heard anything like that? I haven't. I never hear anybody on the radio talking about that. I do mean never. It's been years since I've heard anybody on the radio even broach the subject. I'm not criticizing the guys on the radio. I'm just stating fact. I don't watch television much. Television preachers much, but I don't think they're talking about it much either. Maybe they are. Since I'm not watching them, I can't say for sure. There's a lot of good things out there, a lot of good things people are talking about, but that's something they're not talking about. You see, the Bible tells us there's a place that we call heaven. It also tells us that there's a place that we call hell. I remember when I was in Bible college, many years ago, on Monday morning, we would have a chapel, and we would start the chapel service by standing, the whole student body standing and reciting the college's statement of faith. And part of it was, and there's obviously more to it than this, but part of it was, I believe in the everlasting conscious blessedness of the saved, and I believe in the everlasting conscious punishment of the lost. Why did it say that? Because that's what we're taught. Now listen, here's what the Bible doesn't teach. It doesn't teach us that people who are really, 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 really good go to heaven, people who are really, 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 really bad go to hell. It doesn't teach that. That's what most people think. That's what most people think the Bible teaches. It's not what it says. You see, there is a problem. And the problem is called sin. What is sin? Sin is disobeying God. I often say sin is anything we do that's wrong, but how do we know it's wrong? Because it violates God's standards. And by the way, Jesus said the commandments are not grievous. And they're not. Doing what God has asked us to do is not grievous, it's not tedious, it's just doing what's right. But because we, as the Bible says, come short of the glory of God, we've sinned. Then that separates us from God. But you know what? Here's some of the best things I can tell you today or anything. God loves you. Isn't God angry at me? God loves you. You know what? He doesn't want you to go to a place called hell. He doesn't want you to be separated from Him. He wants you to live. And He wants you to live forever. And He wants you to live with Him forever. It's that clear. Paul wrote to Titus and said, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised, listen, before the world began. You know how important that is? He made that promise before the world began. You know what that means? That's an eternal promise. It was made before time, and it will last far beyond time. In hope. There is hope. There is hope in Jesus Christ, in hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie. There's a missionary here some years ago, and he had a display. He had a little board up here and had three small doors on it. It says three things that God cannot do. He opened one of them and says, God cannot lie. That's true. God cannot lie. Why? It would violate His very nature. So we have the hope of eternal life, which is a promise from God. You can't lie. It's an eternal promise. So that brings up another question. How do we get this eternal life? And the answer is found in the words of Jesus, who said, God so loved the world, that's you and I, that He gave His only begotten Son, that's Jesus, gave Him to go to the cross to pay for our sins. That whosoever, big word means anybody, whosoever believes in Him should not perish, will not die, but have, listen, everlasting life. Beyond time. Into eternity. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus did not come here to condemn the world. But that the world, through Him, might be saved. That's John 3:16-17. The Philippian jailer asked one of the greatest questions in the history of the world. He said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. That's Acts 16:30-31. So we come to the end of the year, and we look toward the beginning of the new year. What shall we do? Well, I think we ought to make some plans. I put in your bulletin this morning a quote by Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards was the preacher who's given credit for beginning what was called the Great Awakening back in the colonial days in this country before there was a United States. And the spiritual temperature was extremely cold. And Jonathan Edwards prayed and he asked God to send a revival. And you know what? Did him so good, he started a revival right in Jonathan Edwards' own church and spread through the colonies. They called it the Great Awakening. You know what, folks? We need another one. We need another one. Jonathan Edwards made a list of New Year's resolutions. Again, it's in your bulletin this morning. He said, resolution number one, live for God. That's a good resolution, isn't it? Live for God. He said, Resolution number two, if no one else lives for God, live for God anyway. Folks, those are two good resolutions. Live for God, and if nobody else does, you do it anyway. So we make plans, and we plan with hope. And we hope and believe that we'll carry out the things that we want to do, and the things that we have planned to do, and the things that we need to do. And God willing, we shall. But none of us knows the future. That's why James tells us to say, if the Lord will, we'll go and continue a year. It's exactly what he said. We'll continue a year, another year, and do this or that, if the Lord will. Because none of us knows the future. Therefore, we need to trust in God. And somewhere beyond the new year, somewhere beyond 2018, is eternity. I'm going to tell you something. It is amazing to me, and that word is so overused these days, but it is amazing to me that it's almost the year 2018. I remember in 1969, I went with a young lady to see a movie, and we had a choice. We went to the theater to see a movie, and there were two that we thought about. One was Romeo and Juliet, and the other one was 2001 A Space Odyssey. And I've always been fascinated with space exploration stuff, so I said, well, let's go see 2001 A Space Odyssey. We should have gone to see Romeo and Juliet. If you ever get a chance to see the movie 2001 Space Odyssey, pass it up. It's not worth your time. So why do you bring it up? Here's why I bring it up. It was 1969. The movie was fantasy taking place in 2001. Mm-hmm. Folks, that's 17 years ago. We're way past that. That's why it's amazing to me that it's almost 2018. But somewhere beyond this new year, somewhere beyond 2018 is eternity. Therefore, we need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, who holds eternity in his hands. We need to trust him to save us. We need to trust him to give us a home in heaven. You know, a wonderful thing, a lot of wonderful things about heaven. We'll talk about the most wonderful thing in a moment, but before we get to that, let me tell you this. I think a lot of you are where I am in this respect. I'm looking forward to getting there to see folks I haven't seen in a long time. Because they're already gone and already there. I could start naming names, but if I did, we'd all start crying, so I'm not going to do that. I'm looking forward to getting there and seeing people that I knew who have gone on. I'm looking forward to that day of reunion. I'm looking forward to meeting people I've never known before. I really am. The most wonderful thing about heaven is Jesus is there. Yeah. You know, we're talking about time. And I've often thought, if you ever have anybody talk like this, I have. Wouldn't you like to travel through time? And if you could travel through time, where would you go? And I think, well, I'd like to go back to when Jesus was walking the earth and see him and walk with him and talk with him. And I'd like that. But you know what? That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But you know what is going to happen? I'm not going to go back in time. I'm going to go into eternity, and I'm going to see him and hear him and walk with him and talk with him. That's better than going back in time. Because that doesn't come to an end. So, when Mrs. Giuliano and I were both in high school, and I hasten to add that she is younger than I am, when we were both in high school, we were in the same teen group at church. What a wonderful teen group that was. I could tell you story after story about that. We don't have the time this morning. We used to sing some wonderful songs. And one of the songs said this: yesterday he died for me. Today he lives for me. Tomorrow he comes for me. And then it ended with the line, old friend, did you know him? Do you know him? Jesus Christ. I hope you do. If you don't, the great news is you can. Right here, now, right here, today. Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you, with the faith of your heart, will call upon him and ask him to forgive your sins, to save you, to give you eternal life, he says he will. So all you need to do is trust him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for blessings. Thank you for this time we've had together this morning. Thank you for these folks gathered here. And Lord, it is my earnest prayer that you would help us to take an honest look at our own personal lives. Lord, nobody here knows us like you know us. You know the things that we haven't shared with anyone else that we wouldn't share with anyone else. You know our hearts. And you know the heartache and the sadness that's there. And you know all the other things that are in our hearts today. Lord, it's my prayer that each and every person here today would turn their eyes on Jesus. And if they haven't already trusted him, that they would open their heart and pray and say, Lord, I believe. I believe that you love me. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you paid for my sins, the things I've done wrong at the cross. But I believe that you're alive today. And I'm trusting you, not as one dead, but as one who is alive. To forgive my sins, to save my soul, to give me everlasting life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Maybe you prayed that prayer, maybe you didn't. But the great news is that God still loves you. Jesus paid for our sins at the cross. He didn't stay dead, but he's alive today. And all he's asking you to do is trust him. You will, won't you? Maybe you need help with that. We're about to sing a hymn as we do. I'm leaving the platform. I'm going to stand out at the head of the center aisle. God's spoken to your heart. You come and meet me there. Perhaps you're here this morning. You say, well, I don't know. I don't understand what it's all about. You come. It won't take long. We won't keep you from anywhere you need to be. Just take a few minutes, show you what the Bible has to say. We're not talking about joining the church or going through a ritual. We're just talking about seeing what the Word of God has to say about knowing that your sins are forgiven. Jesus is your Savior, and you're going to have a place in heaven forever. You come, won't you? Maybe you're here this morning and say, preacher, I've got that settled. I know I'm saved. Thank God. Thank God for you. The Lord may be speaking to you about something else. We talked in Sunday school about the need for carrying the gospel to those who have not heard. Perhaps there's something else in your heart today. I've not maybe even spoken about it, but the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, and you need to respond. This is your time. Father, bless and move in this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.